Hello, and welcome back to another episode of ABA Mom. I'm your host, Allie, and today we have Jason, who is a board-certified behavior analyst with over 20 years of experience in the field, and he's the brains behind his own consulting company that helps parents navigate the world of applied behavior analysis, also known as ABA. Please welcome Jason, also known as the ABA guy on TikTok and Instagram.
Thanks, Allie.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you today.
I'm happy to be here.
Your content on social media has been so engaging, and I've absolutely loved all of your videos and, you know, the tips that you give parents. One video in particular that I noticed probably a few months ago, you suggested bringing a kid that you wasn't ready to go into a restaurant into Target. And nice. Just doing the Target cafe. I really like that one. Can you elaborate on exactly, you know, kind of explain the strategies and why we might use that?
Yeah, I remember it's probably 15 years ago, and I was working with a client, and he was doing so well in the home, and just, you know, just reaching all his goals. And his mom really just wanted to be able to take him shopping, and little man, with all the skills that he had, it was still such a struggle. Every time she would literally walk in the store, in the first few steps, he would drop into the ground and just, you know, cry and scream, you know. And so that was everywhere, you know. That was at, you know, and the family just wanted sometimes just to go out and eat, you know. And those things that a lot of us take for granted sometimes, you know, those families who are affected by autism and related disorders, that's not something that they can sometimes do. And so I kept figuring, absolutely, you know, the first few times we would go to like McDonald's and things, but that costs money. And a lot of the clients I worked with, they just didn't have that. They would never complain about it ever. But I, you know, just seeing that, it's like, oh man, this family is struggling. I can't just have them always go out somewhere that costs money.
Right.
And, you know, we went out to a restaurant or two where we just explained it and they were very nice and just let us have water. But you know, I was out shopping one day and I was at a Target and I just looked over and I was like, you know what, we could practice here. Cause they literally had
such a great idea,
the chairs and the tables, and they don't really mind that you bring your own snacks. And so that's where it kind of started to go. And I've done that with dozens of clients. I've done that with my own kid, you know? And so it's just, and it's nice cause you can control the environment, which is nice. And, yes, and just in our field, that's what we want. We want to try to go from that really controlled environment to hopefully the natural environment. And yeah, after probably a month or two, that family was able to go out to restaurants fairly easily, you know, compared to what they were, you know, dealing with before. And I'm always a fan of that. Anything I give to a parent, I want to make it as easy as possible. When I was just starting out 23 years ago, I was like a lot of us, where we have the most creative, most, you know, by the book types of things. Like, oh, this is amazing. I got these really complex reinforcement strategies. You have to use these six things, you know. And I just came to realize that, hey, you know what? The simpler that you make it and lower the response effort, it's going to be something more readily usable by the families. And especially when you become a parent, like, oh, this is tough. I have to make this easy or easier.
Right. No, I love that. And I think you made a really good point when you said that, you know, it's something we may not think about, but, you know, you think about those parents with kids with, you know, disabilities or autism or, you know, some sensory processing disorders that, you know, that's a big task to go sit down and eat a meal. So I love that. You just kind of came up with that while you were out. And I've had that too with going to restaurants where we just order water, we're just practicing, but that you're right, being able to kind of manipulate that environment in the Target cafe. I love it. That's such a great strategy to use.
Yeah. And then a related one too is the, you know, the, you know, you do all this work with toilet training.
Right.
Right. And you kill it. And you're happy, you know, it's touchdown, right? The kid's readily doing it inside.
Yeah.
And then invariably you always have the parents say, hey, we tried to go to the zoo and it was a nightmare. We couldn't they wouldn't use the bathroom.
Oh no. Yeah.
And that way,
I had that experience too.
Yeah, we all have. I've had that with my own kids. And so what I've recommended for years is Starbucks. I absolutely love Starbucks. And I start recommending Starbucks in particular, as opposed to say Target, because there's just so many stalls in a Target. You have people coming in and out, the fans going on.
Starbucks.
At first I would have the parents work it on it in Starbucks or Target. But then I realized, there's multiple stalls there. People are coming in and out. And, that's scary for a kiddo. I mean, none of us as adults like public restrooms to begin with, let alone a little kid who doesn't know how to navigate that. So I've always recommended Starbucks just because it's traditionally, a one stall bathroom. The parents can just, lock that door. No one's coming in. They can, dictate when that water goes on, when the fans go on, when the toilet flushes. And so I love that just to practice it. And, for the most part, Starbucks doesn't care if you just use their restroom. And so you can just, easily practice that. And a lot of times parents love Starbucks anyways. And so they don't mind practicing it there. And right. So, yeah, it's a great way to
a lot of parents love Starbucks. You're right.
Oh, hard not to. Yeah.
No, but that's a great suggestion, especially with the one stall. That's something I hadn't even ever thought of, is the fact that, that places where, that might be a little easier for parents to expose to different bathrooms to generalize it across different settings. And I think too, what you were saying about being creative, being outside the box, I do think that, all of us as new analysts kind of said, okay, so here's some things I can try, but as you get into the field, it's learning that it's not just one size fits all. So I think as you go with your experience, your over 20 years of experience, I'm sure you have all kinds of creative suggestions for parents. What do you feel is the biggest barrier for parents in your experience?
The biggest barrier, I think, is the first off is really just the confidence, and a lot of times when parents in our field, particularly if you're working at ABA companies that specialize, say, in early intervention, autism, when they're coming in, a lot of times they're feeling defeated. And this is all new to them. They might have a new diagnosis and they're grappling with this. They are being recommended all these services that they don't necessarily understand, right? ABA, speech services, occupational therapy, physical therapy. And they're just saying yes to everything and just not necessarily understanding. And so many times they're just allowing you to be the professional, right? And they sit back and they're like, oh yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. You do it. And so that's one of the biggest things that I would always try to do is empower those parents. And so I love that. I think that was one of my strengths as a clinician is giving parents the confidence by teaching them and by showing them and saying, look, Abigail is an amazing RBT, but what she's doing is not magic. We can do what she's doing. I don't want them to be a therapist. I don't.
Right.
But the way that she's playing, we can definitely teach you that. And that's what I would do and make it easy and take out our jargon, right? I never use, it's kind of nice being able to use some of our language, with you, which is nice, but I don't ever use that when I'm working with parents or people who are outside of our field.
Right.
And so that's the biggest thing in showing them. And it's so rewarding when you see that parent for that first time, being able to say, follow through with an instruction. They're almost surprised. Like, wait, I just did that. Like, yeah, you got this. And just, yeah. So being a big cheerleader, I think is something that I do a lot, during those first few weeks, few months of session, and just getting that hurdle of you can do this as a parent, and it's not easy. I'm assuming that you're a mom just based from your handle, right? How many kids do you have?
So we're a blended family. There's five total. So
cool.
Yeah. All different.
What's the youngest and oldest?
The youngest, he is now I have to think about, he's just turned 2 months. And then the oldest is 16.
Oh, very cool.
So yeah, so quite a age gap.
That's cool though. Honestly,
but all different developmental.
Yeah,
they're all developing at different levels. So, I mean, it's kind of cool to get that experience too.
I would always tell people, you know, and I still tell people, you don't have to have kids to be a really good clinician. You don't. You can be an excellent clinician, especially with experience. But it definitely gives you a different layer. And I have a 6-year-old and an 11-year-old. And especially when my kids were at that age, where my clients were, I was like, wow, this is giving me a different perspective, an appreciation too. That's a big thing that it did give me that's hard to do without being a parent, is the appreciation part. So for instance, I would have, at my old company, we loved parent training. That was like a big thing. And so dad would come home, at 4:30, and the therapist was immediately saying, Hey, Mr. Smith, really quick, can you run these lessons, before I even getting his shoes off, before, right? After I became a parent, and you can totally relate to that, right? He was like, let's get them involved, but also let's get them, can they relax a little bit? Can they go to the bathroom? Can they, right?
I love that, yes.
Yeah, and so as a parent, that was one of the first things, like, oh yeah, that needs to change. you can still have active parents, but still be compassionate for that part. We're a lot of times, it's different when you're in a center, right? A center-based program versus an in-home program. I worked in both.
They're different.
Right? But you are literally in the most intimate of settings when you're in their home. Yeah, and you're a guest in their home. And so it's like, that's one thing I've definitely learned over the years. Like, oh yeah, just chill, chill for a sec. We'll get to the lessons, let mom change her clothes. Let dad, go to the bathroom,
And I've had it too, where parents think either one way or the other, where they, really the involvement sometimes is just very little, like, oh, hey, they've got this. Mm-hmm. Or the involvement is like, I'm going to be there every single second of everything you do. And sometimes they just need to breathe and take a moment for themselves. So
that's huge.
Yeah. But I love what you were saying about the confidence, because, looking back and thinking about every parenting goal that I've written, it really comes down to, and it's not a term that we use in ABA, is confidence, but that's really what it is. It's like, mm-hmm. teaching one skill at a time. So, hey, I just want to teach you like positive reinforcement. So I just want to, teach you how to provide praise to your kid. So something very small, but it definitely comes down to confidence of the parent. So I love that.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. I'm still trying to gain my confidence sometimes as a parent, right? It's just,
I think we all are. We're all learning and growing. So I think that's true. So I also wanted to talk about, especially with spring break coming up and, parents planning vacations, that you did a video on vacations and not setting new expectations while you're on vacations, which I think is true. Can you explain a little bit more about that tip that you gave parents?
Yeah. We just visited, Hawaii for the first time as a family. Yeah. And so I was, having a really fun time. It did get me thinking, because so many of my clients, they get super excited, right? You teach them a new skill, they get very excited, which is awesome for us, as BCBAs. We want that. But we want to set that expectation where, and set ourselves up for success, where we don't want to maybe start off toilet training while you're on vacation, or, you're starting to sleep train. I'll ask a parent, are you doing anything right now? And if they tell me they're taking a trip, I'm like, yeah, let's not do the sleep training yet. We'll do it when you get back. Because that's just, you're just not setting yourself up for success. It's logical, right?
Right.
I mean, that it's vacations, as they're already stressful, even though they're supposed to be relaxing. It's still stressful. It's like to have your family have a good time. It's stressful. And so you don't want that added stress on something that you're not really confident yet in using, And so that's the big thing. That was a big message I had, basically.
I actually had a parent. It just reminded me of when I had a parent one time. They were going on vacation and their child was having some difficulty toileting, but they were going to go visit relatives. So they wanted him to be as prepared as possible. So they're like, okay, so while we're on vacation in a new state, we're going to go put him in underwear. And I'm like, wait.
Different time zone. Like, oh, yeah.
I understand that you want him toilet trained and we're going to get there, but let's do it one step at a time, not in a, in another house, in another environment, and start there. So it reminds me, I think that's so important.
And that's an interesting challenge too, that I'm, you know, you got me thinking about, which is obviously we're always thinking about the parents where it's, we have to help motivate them and be that cheerleader for them. And like, you can do it, you can do it. But on the other side of that coin, you have parents like that where you have to be overzealous parent, the over like right. excited parent, where you also have to, you know, navigate that, right? So you have to like yeah, there's steps.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. That's true. And that's probably what I was talking about too, as far as in home, sometimes like the parents are either, you know, mm-hmm. not there or they're really there. So it's good to have both. I love parent involvement. Like, don't get me wrong. I just want to make sure that everyone has time to breathe and we all like,
you just want to make it as productive and yeah. productive and as effective as possible. And so that's what it is as getting on the own end, right? In any regard, right? In any industry, you want to make sure, because you have workers, you have people like that in general, you know, and just making sure that they're all kind of on that same landing spot is going to make it the most effective.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what do you think that your biggest tip is that you can share with parents? What do you think? And then also, if you want to share one of your best success stories.
Yeah. Well, my biggest tip that I give most parents, and it's one of the first things I ask a parent in the first 5 minutes of any, you know, beginning consultation, or even sometimes I'm just talking in general at a Starbucks. I ask them a simple question, because they'll, you know, they always have a load of questions and things. But my question to them is always this, how often are you taking breaks? And so I learned that lesson so far into my early on in my career, where I had this amazing mom who went to every IEP meeting, did everything, was at every session, was just so involved, and really wouldn't let anybody else, you know, do anything, including her husband, including you know, the babysitters, and they really wanted to. And I just remember one day, you know, after I moved to San Diego, getting a call and saying the mom had left. She got so burned out and she just like left the family basically. And that just sort of kind of shook my world a little bit, which, you know, just like, wow, I thought that was the model parent, right? That, you know, it's like the worker working 70 hours a week. I used to think that was the good worker. And so that was super valuable to me. And I always ask that question of, how are you taking your breaks? Because most parents, you probably experienced that, right? I don't have time. Well,
right.
Everyone has.
Yeah, I was that.
I don't care how busy you are. I was that parent. Yeah. I was totally that parent. You know, I literally wrote an introductory report, you know, on the first day that my child was born in the hospital after my wife and my son were sleeping. Yeah, I was used to be a workaholic. And so now I make sure. And so that's the first thing I actually work on, making sure that they take that. And I start small usually, you know, and that's one of those things where I had a mom and she would, you know, her husband was on deployment and, mm-hmm. you know, she just would, you know, would never take breaks. And she'd be up with her kid until like 11 o'clock at night when her kid went to sleep. And, you know, we eventually worked on that, but we worked on like, what do you want to do? What would you like to do? And she's like, well, I would just love to read. I don't get to read anymore. And so we started out super easy. I set an easy goal, like 10 minutes a day, let her on the iPad, go read. And it was cool. After 2 weeks, she actually said, you know what? I loved it so much. I do an hour now. And just let her read. I let her do that. And that's huge for her, you know, so I love that. You know, that's one of those things. So definitely my biggest tip is make sure you get that. Because you know, you have 5 kids. You can definitely feel when you didn't take your breaks. And I have people who are, you know, working the big corporate jobs. And so I always tell them, I was like, cool, start to put it in the Google Calendar. You actually treat it like it is a meeting.
A meeting.
It starts with 15 minutes. Yeah.
Love it.
You get reoccurring every day because everyone has 15 minutes. No matter how busy you are, you got 15.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you're right. That's a great point. I think I need to start adding that to my own calendar.
Well, especially being CBAs, it's hard, you know, because so many of us, we're like what you do for a living, right? You are helping other people, and it's so hard because you're putting so much, you know, of your cup, you know, in it for everyone else. It's so hard. We're like usually the most guilty
Yeah,
of
it's
forgetting to
true.
do it
We're
for
helping
ourselves
everyone else, and it's like we need
all
to take
day.
care of it. Yep, absolutely. And it's just, you know, like putting your oxygen mask on first, right? You got to be able to take care of
Yeah,
yourself
that's it.
before you
They
take
literally
care.
tell you that, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Well, so many of us feel guilty. You know, that's the thing
Yeah.
I generally feel is like the parents and then myself as well. You feel guilty when you take that time, and I always flip it on them. Like, hey, look, you can't be the best husband, best wife, best mom, right? If you're not recharging that battery.
Right.
You're probably not going to get to 100% because you know, that's just not how it is anymore. I don't, you know, just.
But a little bit of a charge. We can't be totally drained.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think about it, like even when the kids, like, you know, they're occupied doing something else, I'm like, oh, I gotta clean the house. Like that's my first go-to. It's like, so, 'cause that's usually the last thing I ever get to. And I think a lot of parents feel that way too. And it's like, you know, if I don't have the cleanest house, or I don't have, you know, my kids not involved in, you know,
All these sports and that,
sports
yeah.
and everything, right? Or and I've experienced that too. So I think
And that is a caveat too. I tell them in these 15 minutes, they are not for cleaning. They're not for making like appointment related type of phone calls. It is, you can schedule that time too, because that, you know, you can
right.
have Ali's cleaning time. Because I do have, you know, after this podcast, I am going to do some laundry because it calms me. But yeah, you should have a separate where I don't care if it's working out, Netflix, reading, going for a walk, that is Ali's time.
I love that. I'm gonna start at I'm seriously adding this to my calendar now. Every few
That's
minutes
awesome.
just do
Yes.
something. That you really came on and showed me something today. So I appreciate it. But I think there's a lot of parents out there that feel that way. You've also mentioned that you felt that way. And I think just on the other side of that, we talked about confidence, but it's so important to that self-care is also really important too. We can't do everything. We're not superheroes. In order to be the best super parent we can be, we have to start taking care of ourselves too. And I
Yes, and
think,
it's hard. It's hard too, Ellie, right? Because we've so many times parents are compared to superheroes, and that gets in our own head, right? Where we have to be. And so I try not to think of myself as that type of role, because that's like you know, an unrealistic expectation.
it
But
is.
we've used it so many times. We all have, you know. She's a super mom. I literally, that first mom I told you about, in my head, I was like, how does she do this? You know, and the answer was she couldn't. You know, you can't maintain it.
I think I mean that's really great. That's such an eye-opener. So before we kind of wrap up, I do want to just make sure everyone can reach you. So what is the best way to reach out for you, whether that's through social media or to get consultation from you? What's the best way for everyone to reach out to you?
Yeah, I'm at the underscore ABA underscore guy and all social media, and then you can schedule a consult, a one-to-one consultation with me, and you know anywhere. It's all telehealth. You know, at my website, emotoabaconsulting.com. Yeah, when I made that name, I didn't realize how long
Yes.
that
It's a little bit long, but I've seen
I
longer
made it from an
ones.
email too. I'm like, oh man, that's long.
There's longer ones. That's all right. You're doing fine. So, and as always, if you guys have any questions and want to cover some questions during future episodes, feel free to reach out at ABA Mom through social media, ABA Mom Podcast. Engaging with each other, sharing experience can be incredibly helpful. So thank you for your time today. And listeners, don't be afraid to reach out Thank you again, Jason. And listener, enjoy the rest of your day. Take care, everyone. Remember, you're not alone on this journey. Thank you.
Thanks, Allie.